Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Out of My Mind by A.J. Truman, narrated by Alexander Sendes. Chapter 1. Mac. Things were happening. Well, possibly happening. Mac put the probability at 25% happening for the moment. Mac had never flirted with a guy before. Even when his gaydar went off, he ignored it. He preferred to observe, as if everyone around him were subjects in a grand experiment. Things were safer that way. After escaping his small town, quite literally, and then moving to Pittsburgh in 11th grade, which wasn't all that different, his best survival tactic was to assume the world around him was straight and let the world assume the same about him. It had led to avoiding eye contact, unintentional celibacy, and ample masturbation. But he managed to graduate unscathed. One of his reasons for choosing to attend Browerton was because it was a liberal campus, as in, he could be openly gay and flirt with other openly gay guys, like Gideon. Just saying Gideon's name in his head made Mac's insides do flips that would make an Olympic gymnast jealous. They stood next to each other at the refreshments table of a Welcome to Browerton party. It was his first night of college, and he was already loving undergraduate life. Gideon smiled at him. Smiling was a good sign, right? Mac hitched his percentage up to 30%. To calm himself down, Mac imagined this as a social experiment, one of many he hoped to devise as an undergrad. Hypothesis? Flirting is part of human instinct. Even if somebody has never flirted before in his life, he can rely on intuition to guide him to victory. You can't underestimate the quality of Sprite. It has the lemon-lime taste that puts it in a class all by itself. Gideon shook out the last drops of sugary goodness into his cup. His lanky body stretched up like a beanstalk. Mac was 6 feet even, and he still had to crane his neck back for their conversation. Gideon had dirty blonde hair that dashed around the top of his head, yet still managed to make sense, and his thick-framed hipster glasses displayed large green eyes that were always exploring. Gideon was unlike anyone he'd known back home, not just because he was a New Yorker, which made him a little exotic in Mac's eyes. It was his attitude and directness and volume, the way he carried himself through the world like a knife, effortlessly slicing through cake. "You've put way too much thought into pop," Mac said. "You mean soda?" Gideon arched an eyebrow that sent a spark straight to Mac's home entertainment center. "No, it's called pop." "Nobody calls it pop. It's soda." He said it in such a matter-of-fact way that should have offended Mac, but it just made him smile harder. "Nobody calls it soda. In Pittsburgh, it's pop." "I never met anyone from Pittsburgh." "Well," Mac put a hand on Gideon's forearm, light touching, eye contact, smiling. Instinct was taking over. "I assure you that we follow the laws of the Constitution in my neck of the woods." "Except that you say pop." Gideon didn't retract his arm right away. They remained touching for a good 3 seconds. Mac could hear bleachers full of people in his head cheering him on. 40%. Vegas would be very optimistic about these odds. "Is it true that New Yorkers think that New York is the center of the universe?" "It's not a thought. It's an empirical fact." Gideon flashed Mac a teasing smile. Mac liked the teasing. From all the times he had to watch straight friends flirt, he knew that teasing was good. 43%. Gideon took back his arm. "Do you want a refill on your soda?" 42%. "Sure." Mac could feel the past slipping away with each second he enjoyed at Browerton. It was a new start. Much like Pittsburgh had been, only with more possibility. His Aunt Rita had said he would love college. He lived with her in Pittsburgh, and she was more of a parent to him than his mom or dad had been. Gideon poured him another cup of Coke. "It's interesting, though, because I could swear you have a little bit of a southern accent." Mac walked to an empty spot against the wall. "I do? I don't know." "Yeah, it's there, hiding in the background, twangy." Gideon followed behind him and leaned only a few meager inches away on the very same wall. That had to bring him up to 45%. Mac listened hard over the noise of the party and his heart pounding the hell out of his ears. He looked down at his shoes. "I'm from West Virginia, originally. That's it. But that was years ago. He would not let this conversation get awkward. Now was not the time to bring up his past. Sob stories had no place in flirting. Even a newbie knew that. "Still makes you a southerner at heart," Gideon said. "It's not the South. Same difference." Another teasing smile. It was a visual Mac never wanted to leave his head. "It only comes out when I'm having fun," Mac said. Gideon's New York accent seemed to be with him nonstop. Mac wasn't complaining. It was a hot accent. All hot edges and brute force. "Say, what color is your cup?"
"Orange."
"You mean orange?" "Orange?" Gideon overemphasized, and it was adorable as hell. "Who says orange? Look at me. I'm eating an orange." Mac shoved him away, which allowed a brief touch of his chest. Gideon might have flexed for him on contact, but that was inconclusive. "It's pronounced orange." Gideon pressed a pointy finger against Mac's chest, and Mac flexed briefly, just to let him know that he visited a weight room regularly. 48%. They continued talking about classes and dorms and the soul-sucking retail jobs they worked over the summer. The words didn't matter. It was all a front for the looks and smiles and surreptitious touching. Flirting became kinda effortless, instinctual. Mac wasn't really trying anymore. He just enjoyed Gideon's company, and the feeling seemed mutual. But the problem with talking was that it wasn't moving the percentage needle. Gideon illuminated Mac about what matzo balls were like.
"It's like dough, almost like a wonton, but it's made of matzo meal, which is like bread without yeast, so it's unleavened, and it's a ball of goodness. That's all you need to know."
"And you eat it all the time?"
"You're just supposed to eat it at a Passover Seder, but my mom makes it for most holidays."
Mac pretended to know what Gideon was talking about, which Gideon was not buying.
"Passover's like the less fun cousin of Easter. You can't eat bread, and we celebrate getting to wander the desert for 40 years. Jesus' Last Supper was a Seder."
"Really?"
"I'm 97% sure."
Gideon fixed his glasses on his ears, a nervous tick that only added to his cuteness.
"How'd we get to talking about religion? What's next on the list of taboo topics? Politics?"
A silence passed between them. This one Mac felt deep within him and made him grip his cup tighter. He didn't know what to say next, but he was thinking of something fast.
"Should we try to be social?"
Mac nudged his chin at the packed room. He had talked to some kids tonight, but once he saw Gideon across the room chatting away, his attention focused on getting to know the cute, tall guy. When Gideon wound up at the drinks table alone, Mac zoomed over to casually bump into him. Gideon shrugged his apathy. He pulled out his phone.
"I'm going to show you what a matzo ball looks like."
48.4%. Mac proceeded to yank out his phone. "And I'll show you a map so you can see that West Virginia is firmly not in the South.
We've only been at Browardon for 24 hours and we're already expanding our horizons."
Or at least they tried to. Mac's phone was taking forever to load the image search. He refreshed, which set him back to zero. He gestured to his phone to pick up the pace, but no dice. He glanced up at Gideon, who was having similar problems.
"Everyone at the party is probably draining the Wi-Fi," Gideon said.
And that's when an idea caught fire in Mac's mind. He realized that flirting only took him so far. He was circling his opponent in the boxing ring. At some point, he had to connect with the right hook. He put his hand in his pocket and clutched his four-leaf clover keychain for some good luck.
"My dorm is across the street," Mac gulped back every last nerve. "We can just go on my computer."
Gideon looked behind Mac at the party. Mac waited like a defendant watching the jury foreman stand ready to read his verdict.
"Great idea."
100%. Mac had to wipe his sweaty palm on his shirt in order to open the door to his floor. The layout reminded him of a submarine, long and narrow. The halls were empty. Everyone was at the mixer or elsewhere. Mac's heart beat faster at the silence around them. His keys shook in his trembling hand. He jiggled it in the lock a few times before it opened. Mac sat at his desk and turned on his computer. He took calming breaths in through his nose and out through his mouth.
"You can sit on the bed. No need for you to hunch over me like that." "Cool."
Gideon did as instructed. Mac willed his fingers to stop shaking on the computer keys. He was an astronaut touching down on a new planet. Planet Gay.
"I can't believe I'm here," in my room with a guy who's on my bed, and things are 100% about to happen.
Gideon's back slumped against the wall.
So, what do you want to study here?
Patterns. Max spun around his chair to face Gideon. The computer was in his lap.
Patterns? Sociology is the study of patterns and trends. Our lives and our society are a system of patterns that we've honed over time, and I want to study them.
What does what we do every day say about us?
They're all patterns that humans have been refining for centuries.
You don't think people can break patterns?
That's what I want to find out.
You really thought this over?
My mom said that economics would be a good major for me, and I have some friends who work on Wall Street.
Mac handed over his laptop, and their fingers touched in the process. He now wished the laptop had remained on his lap.
Gideon scoured the web for just the right picture of a matzo ball. He was on a serious mission.
He found his winning picture within the depths of Pinterest, a thick, large ball being raised out of a piping hot bowl of soup.
Feast your eyes on this beauty.
Max sat next to him on the bed. He felt every spring move underneath him.
Gideon might have said something else about the matzo ball, but Mac couldn't hear anything over the pounding of his pulse in his ears.
They were still circling each other. No punches thrown yet.
Okay, so it might not look like much. You really need to taste one.
Mac took the computer from Gideon and moved it to the desk chair. Before Gideon could say anything else, Mac kissed him. Mac could hear Gideon's breathing and his own heart rate dueling in his ears.
I'm feeling Gideon's nose against my nose. I'm feeling his lips with my lips.
But just as fast as the kiss happened, it was over. Gideon scooted back.
I'm straight.
His words were the real right hook here. He stood up faster than the speed of light.
Oh!
Mac didn't know what else to say in this situation. He looked to Gideon, who didn't seem to have malice in his green eyes, just shock and a dose of fear, which seemed to be a good start.
I'm sorry.
Mac felt his cheeks heating up faster than a stove.
I guess we got our signals mixed?
People use that expression too lightly.
Mac thought about trains, and how if they got their signals mixed, they would crash and kill hundreds of people.
Gideon opened the door. He couldn't even look Mac in the eye.
I'll see you around.
The smiling, the flirting, the light touches. He thought he was on a street of green lights.
How did I get it so wrong?
Mac ran into the hall and found Gideon hauling open the stairwell door.
Gideon!
He stopped midway down the flight. He adjusted his glasses, and it still made Mac swoon.
Let's forget that happened.
Mac waved behind him to his room, to the fuckload of awkwardness.
Can we be friends?
Gideon's eyes bulged open as if Mac suggested they go on a killing spree or something.
Friends? Are you out of your mind?
Ouch. Mac wasn't expecting that. Even Gideon seemed surprised by what came out of his mouth. It looked like he was going to say something else, but he turned and continued down the stairs and out of sight. Things had happened on Mac's first night in college, and, unfortunately, he would never forget them. 2 years later. Chapter 2. Gideon. Gideon brushed his hand against the freshly painted living room wall. He appreciated that the landlord hadn't painted his new apartment a bone white that seemed to be standard in all buildings. Beth had looked at him funny when Gideon made the guy put it into the lease agreement. He told his girlfriend to trust him. The off-white color gave his new place a warmth and coziness even before the furniture had all been moved in. He breathed in the new paint smell and smiled to himself. It was only mid-September, right before classes started up again, but Gideon already knew junior year was going to be awesome. Boxes lined the floor of his and Beth's one-bedroom apartment. They had scored one of the best places to live in the city, thanks to Gideon charming the landlord and giving him some stock tips he'd picked up from past classes. The apartment sat above a barber shop in the heart of downtown Duncannon. It had hardwood floors, built-in shelving surrounding a brick fireplace, dishwasher, and in-unit washer and dryer, the last one being the holy grail of a college student apartment. It was slightly out of their price range, but Gideon would make it work. Well, actually, Beth's parents would make it work. Step one was buying the couple brand new furniture and paying for movers. Gideon opened a box and thought about trying to do some unpacking until the movers arrived. He was the type who wanted the apartment set up, down to the magazines on the coffee table, before they went to sleep the first night there. He opened a box that had picture frames wrapped in towels and sweaters. Gideon held a frame with decorative menorahs at the corners.
They had made it at the Hillel, Browerton's Jewish student center for Hanukkah sophomore year. He and Beth smiled and held up the picture frame in the shot. It was very meta. Gideon didn't expect to have a serious girlfriend in college, but then most of his friends began pairing off with serious girlfriends, and his mom kept asking about his dating life. Beth seemed to come along at the right time. She was from a nice family, a few towns away from where Gideon grew up. They were both active in Hillel, and had many mutual friends. Dating her was an easy transition. Not much in his life had to change, and his mother loved her. She loved telling her friends about Gideon and Beth. He sat on the toilet, the only seat in the apartment, and texted his girlfriend. "Where are the movers?" "Their 1 to 4 p.m. window is closing in 20 minutes. 15 minutes passed, and still no movers. Gideon unpacked the box of kitchen supplies his mom had shipped. He filled up the wall unit with pictures and knick-knacks they had accumulated over the 10 months of their relationship. Gideon had unpacked as much as humanly possible without furniture. "Have you heard from the movers?" Gideon texted his girlfriend. He stared at his phone, waiting for a response. He realized Beth hadn't responded to his earlier message.
"Gideon!"
Beth stood at the doorway of their apartment. A nervous pit dropped into his stomach, not too dissimilar from the one that dropped when his parents asked him to come into the living room so they could inform him his dad had cancer years ago.
"I managed to do what I could," he said,
pointing to the wall unit and a pair of framed pictures hung on the wall.
"Have you heard from the movers?"
"They're not coming."
Beth could only look at him for a second before glancing away.
"What happened?"
Even while asking this, Gideon had a feeling what the answer was.
"I can't move in with you."
Her voice cracked.
"It's over, Gideon."
Gideon needed to sit down. Too bad his only option was the toilet, which felt about right.
"I'm sorry I'm doing this now like this. I've been thinking about it all summer."
Wait until the last minute.
"There was never a good time."
Gideon sat on the polished hardwood floor. The world around him went mute, all except for Beth, who remained standing.
"I've been wondering if this really was the best next step for us, moving in together. I felt nervous. At first I thought it was because I was moving in with my boyfriend into my first apartment, and the natural butterflies that come with that.
Maybe it is. I'm nervous too. We'll adjust."
"But I realized that I didn't want to adjust. Something seemed off, Gideon, between you and me."
This was news to him.
"You never felt it?"
she asked.
"What?"
"The distance."
"You mean because your internship was in Midtown and mine was on Wall Street?"
Beth shook her head no, her hair flinging out to the side.
"There's always been this distance between us. No matter how close I thought we were, there was this wall. And it wasn't just me. I saw it with your other girlfriends."
That was the problem with dating a girl you had been friends with. She knew Gideon when he was dating around, so she thought she really knew him. He wasn't in the mood to be psychoanalyzed.
"You would start dating a girl, and they'd want to get serious, and you would break up with them. You have a typical playboy pattern, one I thought I could break. But once I started dating you, I saw how much you refused any type of intimacy. We would have these long talks, but it would feel like chatting with a stranger. Or after sex, you wanted to jump into the shower right away. You never wanted to cuddle. I thought it was because of your OCD.
I don't have OCD.
You had the cleanest dorm room of any guy I know.
Since we're listing faults, can I start on you yet?"
"Don't be petty, Gideon. I'm trying to be honest with you."
Great timing.
He thought about the plush armchair they had picked out, that he would never get to sit in now.
"You waited 10 months to lay this all on me?"
"I thought you would come around. I liked the challenge."
"I'm not a project, Beth."
"And I'm not a prop," she said back, her voice thick.
"I think that we wanted to look like the perfect couple rather than actually be a good couple."
Gideon stood up. Therapy session over.
"I already signed a lease."
Beth hadn't put her name on the lease, only him. Her end of the deal was getting the furniture. Gideon wondered how long this really had been on her mind.
"You can break it."
"Not without forfeiting first month's insecurity."
"My parents can pay you back for first month's rent. You can talk to the landlord in the meantime. I'm sure he'll find somebody to fill this place in no time. He'll let you break the lease."
Gideon studied all the details of the apartment. The enclosed porch, the molding on the borders of the off-white walls, that dishwasher. Beth seemed to read his mind.
"If you don't want to give up the apartment, you can try and find a roommate. I can ask around."
The last thing he wanted was help from her. "It's okay. I'll be fine."
"I know you're hurt, and again, I wish my timing was better."
He didn't feel hurt or heartbroken. He was angry at her and at himself. Because at this moment, a voice in his gut was saying he should have been the one to do this first. Beth gave him a hug, which, because he was a nice guy, he accepted. He breathed in her perfume one last time. She clicked the door shut, leaving Gideon alone with his fireplace, dishwasher, and in-unit washer and dryer. A few hours later, Gideon's best friend Seth came over with an air mattress and a pack of gluten-free beer. Seth didn't follow the whole gluten-free craze to be cool. He had a gluten, tree nut, and peanut allergy. When they met as freshmen, he told Gideon that if he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he would die, which Gideon thought made him sound badass. Seth kneeled on the bedroom floor and inflated the air mattress. "Women," Gideon said. "They appear so soft and innocent, but they can destroy you." "Just like almonds," Seth said. He was from Rye, a few towns over from Gideon, but managed to have a Brooklyn accent. "It's never enough. You want to have fun and see where things go. They want a committed relationship. You give them a committed relationship, but it's not the right type of committed. It's never enough." Gideon gagged on the beer. Gluten was apparently the magic ingredient. "Plenty of fish, kid. Plenty of fish." Seth disappeared behind the growing air mattress. "And plenty of dating apps, too." Gideon had done his fair share of swiping left and right before Beth, and he would go back to that well soon. But now he just needed to vent. "What kills me is that as she was breaking up with me, I kept thinking how I wanted to do it first. I wasn't crazy about her, and I know things weren't perfect. Then why'd you keep dating her?" Silence took over the bedroom. It was a valid point, but Gideon waved it away. "I was being the good boyfriend. I was giving her what she wanted." Gideon flopped under the air mattress. It was far more comfortable than he was expecting. "Are you sure you want to live in the dorms for another year?" "I finally got a single. No more awkward conversations with roommates about not keeping crackers and trail mix in a room. I already installed my dehumidifier." "Fair enough," Gideon smirked. Seth had no shame in being excited to install a dehumidifier. "I'll ask around my dorm and my other friends to see if anyone is looking for a last-minute apartment. Whoever moves in here would get half the living room as their bedroom. Not exactly the best deal." Gideon didn't want to give this apartment up. He doubted he could find a quality apartment at an affordable price this late in the game. His only other option was to go back to the dorms. No offense to Seth and his single, but to Gideon, that was like taking a giant step back. "You never know. There are a lot of students on campus. Undergrads, grad students, transfer students, even new professors. Browardson is a big place." As he promised, Seth put the word out. And it just so happened that a kid in his dorm had a friend who was friends with someone who knew a Browardson student from his Intro to Classics course last year who was in desperate need of an apartment. The news passed back through the chain to Seth, who told Gideon the student would stop over Monday night after the first day of classes of the new school year. In that time, Gideon scrambled to find decent furniture from Goodwill and Craigslist. His apartment had the bare essentials of a living space when his buzzer rang. Seconds later, the prospective roommate knocked on his door. Gideon recognized the short brown hair, twinkling eyes, and wide smile in a heartbeat. Only that smile quickly turned into a scowl. Chapter 3. Mac. Mac should have known that out of all the Gideons at Browardton, which to be fair were probably less than 10, this one would need a roommate. He held out hope as he walked up the stairs that it would be someone else. Nope. "Hey!" Gideon put on his best polite smile. It was a crime against humanity that he was still attractive. He hadn't been cursed with a beer gut like so many straight upperclassmen guys on campus. "Yeah, a blast from the past." Mac had spent his time at Browardton avoiding Gideon and pretending like that night never happened, but seeing him again brought back the memory in crystal-clear technicolor. "You're looking for a place to live?" "Yeah." Mac peeked behind Gideon. He loved the color of the walls. And was that a fireplace he saw in the reflection of the window? "Here, come in." He stepped aside. The apartment was already leaps and bounds better than what Mac had seen in other places he looked. Most of the apartments he'd seen were either too expensive or barely acceptable for human living. Mac took full scope of the place. Like his friend had told him, it was a one-bedroom with a large living room where he'd reside. He pictured winter nights curling up with a book next to the fireplace, But then he remembered Gideon would probably be there, too.
"Are you still studying sociology, like patterns and stuff?" Gideon asked.
Mac raised his eyebrows at the polished wood shelves on the fireplace. He couldn't believe Gideon remembered that.
"Yeah, and you still want to be Patrick Bateman, right?"
"Right, minus the homicidal tendencies.
What's the rent on this place again?"
"Your share would be 600, which includes all utilities."
Mac hung his head. He wished he hadn't heard that number. That was lower than anything he could get on his own.
"I'm meeting with a few more people this week. I'll email you either way," Gideon said, a little too eagerly.
And that's a no.
Mac rolled his eyes to himself. There was no way he was getting this apartment. No way Gideon wanted him as a roommate. And the feeling was extremely mutual. He took a quick stroll around the apartment before circling back to the door. He just wanted to be fully aware of what he was missing out on. Mac realized he made a terrible mistake when he walked by the kitchen, his breath caught in his chest. This place has a dishwasher, too? He was being messed with. Terrible guy. Fabulous apartment. Somewhere, someone was laughing.
"You know, you were a real asshole," Mac said.
He'd been thinking about that night for years. Knowing that Gideon was going to have a dishwasher and he'd be forced to live in a dilapidated shack at this point sent him over the edge.
"Are you talking about when you..."
"When I kissed you."
"I'm straight, Mac. I told you that."
Mac's eyes narrowed into slits. He wasn't getting off that easy.
"Only after I made a move. You didn't say anything the whole time we were talking."
"I didn't know I had to."
"You were flirting with me."
Mac's voice echoed on the walls.
"No, I wasn't. We were just talking."
But Mac remembered every detail from that night. He could give minute-by-minute analysis.
"You were smiling at me."
"People smile at each other when they're making friends." Gideon's calmness drove him crazy.
"You tapped my chest, like this."
Mac demonstrated on himself, which Gideon found humorous. "It's not funny."
"I did? I was being friendly, I guess."
Mac crossed his arms. He had the trump card.
"You went up to my room with me. That's the international symbol for hooking up."
Gideon took a step closer and crossed his arms right back at him.
"If I recall, we weren't able to get on the Wi-Fi, and you said your dorm was just across the street. I pulled up a picture of a matzo ball, and then you were on me."
He was so fast with excuses and rationale. He spat them off like an automatic pitching machine.
"You really didn't know what was going on?"
"No. It was my first time away from my family. I was a naive freshman, I guess." It was just one night, but Mac wasn't able to forget. Like all embarrassing, soul-crushing moments, it loved popping back into his mind at the most random occasions, usually when Mac was already feeling down on himself. It was the cherry on top of a crappy mood. And then there were those times when Mac thought about that night, but with an alternate version that didn't have them stopping. In fact, this version had them doing more than kissing. But that was fantasy, starring a Gideon who wasn't an asshole, who didn't make him feel like shit. Fantasy and reality never intertwined.
"I won't forget what you said to me. In the stairwell?"
Mac shook his head.
"Are you out of your mind?"
The words and Gideon's look still gave him a chill.
"I didn't think we could be friends, not after that. It would have been supremely awkward. We could have worked past it."
He seesawed his head.
"You say that, but I'm not convinced."
"I guess we'll never know.
You ran down those stairs like you were Forrest Gump. I'm sorry."
Gideon knocked a knobby fist against the wall, being all smoldering without even realizing it.
"It wasn't my finest hour. I freaked out."
He gave this hangdog shrug and his eyebrows sloped and his eyes went wide, and that made it really hard to hate him.
"It's a nice place," Mac said, giving the apartment one more look.
Because he was an idiot who enjoyed torture, he opened the door off the living room to ogle the spacious closets this place probably had. Mac's jaw hit the floor.
"You have an in-unit washer and dryer?"
"Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I didn't know college apartments had them. I thought it was an urban legend."
Mac dragged a yearning hand over the washer's surface. He was officially in a desperate time, and it called for a requisite desperate measure.
"Look, I know this sounds crazy, us trying to room together. I'm not a fan of it either, especially because I still kind of don't like you after what happened, but I need a place to live, okay? The only apartments that are available are ones I can't afford, ones with legitimately weird roommates, and ones that should be condemned by the Board of Health.
I've been looking for 2 weeks, and this is the only decent place I've found.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?